following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. If you want to, you can give me a call. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Oh boy. Okay, there we go. Man, I tried to squeeze too much in the day. All right, we have nobody waiting right now. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right, now let's see. We got today's Friday, and I like to do hate mail on Friday sometimes, so I'll be able to do some of that. Also, if you're interested in just emailing me, let's just say that maybe you don't want to get on the air. You can't do that. It doesn't work for whatever reason. What you can do is you can give me a call. You can just email me. Excuse me. Just email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. You can do that, and you can just say question, you know, for the radio question or radio comment. And what I'll do often is read them and get on and talk about them. And they often generate interesting conversations. So, Fridays are often slow, by the way, and that's just how that goes, particularly when we're getting into the spring, summer kind of a time, and things slow down, because people go out and do stuff. They go out and do stuff, so that's all right. All right, I got a cup of coffee with me, and, it's a nice day. All right, let me just get us some hate mail and some stuff like that. I enjoy it, so I can do that. And in the meantime, why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, just read your one-sided opinion on this Bible, which is not a Bible, and the author even states that. See, you know, it's like, what is the person talking about? That just comes out of nowhere. Doesn't even give me a reference, what they're talking about, nothing. Anyway, Jesus is loving and kind. When you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him and will lead you to all truth. So that's what someone named Linda said. All right, so just read your one-sided opinion on this Bible. What Bible are they talking about? What do you mean by this Bible? Talking about the New World Translation? What are they talking about? Or the NIV? King James? I don't know. That doesn't stop people from just kind of saying things without any context, and then they expect me to respond. And I you know, if I do respond, I'd say, what are you talking about? What Bible are you talking about? And I have no idea. Here's another one. I just took a quick look at your website. I got through about four articles before I realized that you are not good people. Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. I love it when people say stuff like that. I do. You're not good people. I read about four articles. Talk about trying to change facts and ignore details. You have that down to a T. Now, what facts and what details? Just some good feedback here. You should probably stop teaching. Hope that helps, says Merrick. Thanks, Merrick. I have no idea what you're talking about. Read four articles. Which four articles? You know, what? What do you read? You know, are you a Catholic and don't like what I wrote about Catholicism, or Mormon and don't like what I wrote about Mormonism? I mean, I could see that. Wow. So I didn't really do much. Didn't really help. You know, I like that kind of stuff. All right, we got some wacko mail, too. We'll get into that in a little bit. Let's get to Kyle from Richmond, Virginia. Kyle, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Matt?
Oh, it's going, buddy. Hanging in there, man. What do you got?
Yes, sir. So, got a question for you. It's about what are commonly referred to as come-to-Jesus moments, you know, traumatic events that invoke a spiritual belief. And if that is, you know, if there's any issue with that, if it's a genuine response or a traumatic response, or if it even matters, given that it ultimately leads to their salvation, and if there's any, you know, scripture that backs it up or that I could look up to kind of reference.
Well, how it matters, there's different senses in which we can understand that. Matters in what sense, you know, that person knows a particular time when they met the Lord or you know, or not, or what. So, but as far as dramatic moments, I had a very, very, very dramatic moment But I know a friend of mine, he didn't. And he hardly knew he was saved until some things changed in him. He goes, hey, I must be born again. And we went to seminary together. So there's a wide variety of experience that people have. And some are really dramatic and some are not. Some are way in between. That help any?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I just was curious because, you know, when it's related to a trauma response, it's like, you know, they were essentially, you know, pushed into a belief and from something that happened, as opposed to, you know, knowing about the Lord and knowing about everything and then conceding that on their own will. It's like, you know, they were jolted into belief. And if there's, you know, if that's a good thing.
That can happen.
You know,
that happened to me. It was a tidal wave jolt, electric shock. It was tremendous. It's what happened to me. I'm not saying it's better or worse than anybody else, but it can happen. And some people, I've talked to people who are just raised in a Christian household, and they're like, well, I was always a Christian. You know, it wasn't any dramatic anything.
Yeah.
It was just, I was always a Christian. And those are valid. That's fine. And one's not better than another. They're just different. That's all.
Okay. The only thing that matters is the end result, is what I guess.
Yeah,
right?
If you're saved or not, that's what matters. That's what's important. Are you saved or not? Can God use dramatic means? Yes. Can he use slow means? One of the things I use to illustrate it, I says, you know, if you go out into a storm, I mean, it's just deluge, like a hurricane, winds and snows. The rain is almost horizontal. You go out there, within seconds, you're drenched. But if you go out into a slight mist, well, you're not drenched right away, but after a while, you are. Both of them get you there. Just takes some, just different, okay?
Gotcha. I like that analogy. I appreciate your explanation, Matt.
All right, buddy. Well, God bless. Okay.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All right. Hey, that was Kyle from Richmond, Virginia. We have nobody waiting on the lines right now. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's see. We got an email that came in. Let me check this out. Dr. So-and-so, analysis are always excellent, but last week he outdid himself, and I sent you my notes. I have little patience with superficial and knee-jerk opinions. Jack has done some extensive research over many months, and it shows, okay, look, if you take mark in the mark of the beast, you will go to hell. And if the body is the Lord's, how could you even think of dishonoring it in such a horrible way by allowing it to be injected with such life-destroying chemicals? See, look, you know, I want to know what people are talking about. A lot of I'm going to just complain a little bit about something. People, you know, if you're going to write something to somebody, give them context. Don't assume they understand your thoughts. A lot of people just write something and then they say, see, but they don't realize. You know. So I remember this, that Abraham Lincoln wrote a letter to somebody and waited two or three days before he read it and or before he sent it, and he decided not to send it because he could see it objectively. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at what we're writing sometimes. If you don't have the practice of introducing a topic and speaking about it and then referring to that as a comment. And so this person, you know, says this, it doesn't give any context of what it means. You know, injected with such life-destroying chemicals. Well, what life-destroying chemicals is this person talking about? And then it goes on, followed by booster shots. So I'm assuming the person's talking maybe about COVID, but I don't know. It could be flu shots. It could be something else. The modern man seems to crave respect, but the unworthy man will not be respected. What's in a name? Oh, wow. This guy's all over the place. Mormons, or she is, Wendy. Mormons also call themselves Christian. The arrogant and lazy, both intellectually and spiritually, person will follow the easy. Okay, I'm just gonna move on. Go on here, and we'll get on the air. Let's get to Ed from Virginia. Ed, welcome. You are on the air. Ed, are you there? Ed. Okay, let's put Ed on hold. And let's get to Herb from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Herb, where are you? I mean, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. Always good to talk to you and love listening to you every day. I've asked you this before, and I guess I'm just confused on what you told me. Not you, it's just me that got confused. When God, Jesus comes back, the Lord comes back, takes us all to heaven, and there's going to be a new earth. Did that mean that the actual earth we're on now will be destroyed by fire? I think it talks about. And will that mean it will be a totally separate planet as far as earth and what we know it now that we'll be living with the Lord on?
Well, I don't know for sure, but okay. I can give you some of the theories, some of the opinions I've been offered by different people over time and stuff like that. And I'll just tell you what I think it is, because it's talked about this in 2 Peter 3:13, but according to his promise, we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So some people think that what that's referring to is the new, well, the new stuff going on, okay? And so let me do this. In 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. So now it says here the heavens. So you remember, there's three heavens in Jewish cosmology. The first heaven is wind birds and stuff like that, clouds. The second is stars and planets, and the third is the dwelling place of God. So it says the heavens will pass away. So it's probably talking about number one and two. So, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And what I've understood about that is that the elements are the most basic particles. That's what it is, stoichion. And will be destroyed with intense heat. And, well, in physics, when elements are torn apart, there's a great release of energy. So it looks like that's what's going to happen. And the earth and its works will be burned up. So that's 2 Peter 3:10. So why would that be the case? It probably would be the case because sin has infected the world. Just as we will be resurrected in sinless bodies, that propensity for sin will be gone. That's the assumption with the new resurrected body out of 1 Corinthians 15:35 through 45. So too, the effect of Adam's sin into the world will also be undone with a cleansing and a remaking of the new heavens and new earth. And just as the body that dies is the body that raises, though it's a glorified body, so too the earth that is remade will be the same earth. That would be the logic and consistency of that whole thing. That's what I hold to. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And I thought that's what you said before, but I just wanted to double check. Somebody asked me about it. I said, I got to call Matt and tell him to find out what he told me. I couldn't keep it all straight in my mind.
That's all right. That's what I hold to. And, you know, I'm not going to die on that hill. Someone comes along with a better argument and they show me something. Like, well, okay, great. You know, so, you know, who knows? Okay. All right. That's
well,
what
Matt,
I hold to,
thank though. You as always. God right, bless man. You and your wife. Continually pray for her and all of your ministry and your family. And God bless you all always. And have a wonderful weekend. And take care of yourself.
You too, man. Thank you. God bless.
Yes, all right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Let's get on with back to Ed. Let's see. Ed, are you there? Oh,
yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can, but now we got a break coming up. So sorry, man. Got to put you on hold one more time, then we'll get right back to you after the break. Okay, buddy? All right. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. Ed. Okay, now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, I've been enjoying your show. I discovered you a while back and just been enjoying it, and I like some of your quirks and a little eyebrow raising on maybe your change of view on baptism, things like that. But I got a couple questions.
Sure.
The second one's on Greek tools, so remind me so I don't forget. But the first one is out of Genesis 19:24 when it says, the Lord rained down fire or sulfur from heaven, from the Lord in heaven. Is this a Hebrew poetry, or is this a Christophany, Christ calling God the Father to rain down? How do we do that one?
Well, I've used that verse right there, along with something else. Now, I'll tell you what I do. I've been using that verse, Genesis 19:24, for decades. So I also relate it to, and I'll answer your question, but I'll show you something. Amos 4:10-11, where God's speaking, he says, I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword along with your captured horses, and I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. You have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, wait a minute. The Lord's speaking, and he says he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah like God did. So it's this interesting Hebrew way of communicating. Now, what's going on there? Well, in my opinion, and see, I've been studying this for a long time, so this is why I'm into this, okay? In Genesis 1:26, it says, notice this, then God... Now, that's what the word, you know, God, the one God, said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. What's interesting is in Genesis 1:26, the singular God has three plurals. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. I believe that's Trinitarian reference. When you go to, for example, Genesis 17:1 and 18:1, it says Abram, the Lord appeared to Abram. And then I can quote them to you, but I won't. But in Exodus 24:9-11, 74 people saw the God of Israel. In Exodus 6:2-3, God says he appeared as God Almighty. Now, what's interesting is that in John 6:46, Jesus says, not that any man has seen the Father, except the one, talk about himself, who is from God, he has seen the Father. So, no one's ever seen the Father. And so what's going on here is, the plurality of God's essence in the Trinitarian form is manifested in singularity and plurality in the Old Testament. So we see, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. We see God appearing, but Jesus says it was never the Father, but it was God Almighty. We see the plurality spoken of in Genesis 19:24, when God says that he rained fire and brimstone from Yahweh out of heaven. The Lord rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. And I cross-reference that with Amos 4:10-11, where God's talking, where the Lord's talking about what God did. So the plurality is there, and that's what I believe is going on. It's the intertrinitarian communion and the expression of God in plural form in different ways throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Okay?
Okay. That makes sense. In plural form, you're saying a reference to the Trinity? Or
yes.
Just...
Yes. God is both one and many. It's equally ultimate, right, of the one and the many, in one essence but three persons. The one and the many.
Right.
And so the plurality and the singularity. Now, I've written on this, and it's called the Plurality Study. And you can go to CARM, and I've got a lot more information on there. And I quote a lot of verses. And I've been using this discussion with Unitarians for decades, since the early 80s. So this is one of the first apologetic studies I ever learned, was out of Genesis 19:24, Amos 4:10-11, Exodus 24:9-11, etc. I can give you all these verses. So that's what's going on. That's what I believe is going on, okay?
Gotcha. And a question for us non-Greek scholars.
Okay.
What tools would we use? Like, I took a little bit of counseling, and the guy was talking about how in a marriage couple, this the husband, your anger is this Greek word, Dumas, which is like an erupting volcano. So where do they get these, you know, for us who are non-Greek scholars, how do we get these meanings that they're getting out of? What tools do we use where we
okay.
get these clarification meanings out of the Greek that we could better
sure.
you know, use God's word to counsel? Or
yeah. BlueLetterBible.com is one of the ones I go to when I help people out so that they can answer questions. Because I have Logos Bible program on my computer. I've got thousands of books on it. I've got lots of Greek this and that. I've got all kinds of stuff. But you don't need all of that. I do because of what I do for a living. But Blue Letter Bible is really good. So, for example, if we go to Ephesians 5:22, where it says, wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. So let's just tick that one. The husband's the head of the wife. So what you do is you click on that verse, and it opens up the Greek. And what's really neat is you can then click on the word like head, which is kephale, actually. Click on the Strong's Concordance reference to it, and it gives you its various forms, the inflections, the cognates, that is, and then biblical usage. And it'll give you Strong's Concordance, numbers, and stuff like that. It gives you all kinds of information. So that's one of the ways.
Okay, so it gives you like a clear pictorial meaning like a lot of these people use behind the pulpit.
Depends. Depends on what is going on. I'm not saying every word will. Like the word chi, kappa, alpha, iota, is means the word and. Well, that's all it means. It means and. So, mostly, it's a little slight variation, but that's what it means. So, you know, word study, you could do that. A picture thing, you know, so, but kephale, you know, head, yeah, or gunaikos, gune, woman, you know, wife. So you can go through and see, you know, a woman of any age, whether a virgin, married, or a widow, it says. And Strong's, universally, a woman of any age. So, they become useful, too.
Okay.
And so that's Strong's number, what was that? 11351, was it? And then you could do a search. Yeah, 1135. You can do a search for that number and find out every instance that it occurs in the Bible. Because I don't use that for that. I'm not sure how it works. That's one of the Bible research things. There's another one. Bible
Hub. Now that I got you, your act. Mm-hmm. Be baptized for the remission of sins. We know mm-hmm. that's not for, to be remitted of your sins. What's that Greek in there? What's that explaining?
Let me open up my baptism thing, because I did some recent studies on that. And for the remission of sins, if I'm going to do, is open that up. Okay, for, I have a lot of notes, for the remission. All right, so in Acts 2:38, we have Eis aphesin hamartion. So we have in the word for there is literally the word eis, E-I-S, and it is the word generally rendered as into. So if I wanted to say into something, I would use the word eis, E-I-S, epsilon iota sigma. But the phrase occurs in Mark 1:4, which I'll get to you after the break, and in Luke 3:3, which I'll get to you after the break if you can kind of hold, because we've got a break, okay? So hold on, buddy. All right, man? Okay. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. If you want to give me a call, we have several open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. You can also email me at info@carm.org if you have a comment or a question. Let's get back on the air with Ed. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you asked about for the forgiveness of sins. So what I'm going to do is read the Greek phrase and explain something. The Greek phrase is eis aphesin hamartion. Eis aphesin hamartion. That exact same phrase of Acts 2:38, baptism for the forgiveness of sins, eis aphesin hamartion. That exact same phrase of those three words is found in Mark 1:4 and in Luke 3:3. In Mark 1:4, it says, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Exact same Greek phrase. Luke 3:3, and he came into all the district around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So, this exact same phrase, eis aphesin hamartion, occurs three times in the context of for the forgiveness of sins, all right? So, if they want to say in Acts 2:38 that means, be baptized, each one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, it means to get saved, that your sins are forgiven by the act of being baptized That's what they're going to say in Acts 2:38. Then what you do is you say, okay, so for the forgiveness of sins means that that's how they got forgiveness of sins, right? Yes, that's right. And it's used by Mark in Mark 1:3.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you something. Watch this. So you see, it's used there too for John the Baptist. So here's the questions. Since the exact same phrase is used by John the Baptist, then did the baptism that John the Baptist offer, did it get them forgiveness of sins? If they say yes, then got a question. If John the Baptism for the forgiveness of sins grant their forgiveness, even though it was not a Trinitarian baptism, and if it wasn't a Trinitarian baptism, did they need to get rebaptized under the Trinitarian mode later on? And if they did not need to get baptized under Trinitarian mode, they're not obeying Jesus. If you say they did need to get baptized under Trinitarian formula, well then, I guess John the Baptist baptism didn't get forgiveness of sins, now did it? Furthermore, if the being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, according to John, got them forgiveness, did the people who were baptized by John still need to offer sacrifices in the temple, even though Christ hadn't yet been sacrificed? Now that's a tough question. So these are the questions that go along. Depending on how they answer them, then you can discuss with them. Because what people do with Acts 2:38, repent, each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They will just say that means that's why we get forgiveness of sins by baptism. Well, then that would also mean then by baptism of John the Baptist, they got forgiveness of sins. But if that's the case, they don't need then to get rebaptized under the Trinitarian formula, do they? And it would mean they didn't have to offer sacrifices, even though Christ hadn't been sacrificed yet, had he? Can you explain these? And that's when the wheels come off the cart. Okay?
Well, look at the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, what hinders me to be baptized? Says, hey, if you believe, you can be baptized. So we know salvation didn't come through the baptism. But in the Old Testament, didn't Jews do a baptism for like a cleansing ceremony for when they were preparing themselves for some type of...
Yes, they did.
And
the cleansing that they did most often was sprinkling and pouring of water, not immersion. And a lot of people don't know that.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you go to Acts 1:5, John baptized with water. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is always poured. That's how the Holy Spirit is given. And you can verify that by going to the Old Testament. The pouring of the Spirit. And it goes over and over and over. He's poured. That's what it means. And you can go to Acts 10:44-48, where the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And in Acts 2:17-18, Peter quotes Joel 2:20-29, says this is what was prophesied, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all mankind. Okay, so now think. So if the baptism of the Holy Spirit means pouring of the Holy Spirit, John baptized with water, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The word baptized with the Holy Spirit has to mean pour. You see? I show people this, particularly the baptismal generationists, and they flip on this, and then I show them that Jesus was most probably sprinkled according to Levitical law. They're like, what? It really stirred the pot, I'll tell you. Anyway, it's okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I love to talk about baptism, I do. So there's a lot there. All right, man?
Now, would this be on your website? Because I'd like to listen to that again. Because a little bit of that went over my head as far as the questions you were asking. But
Well, if you email me, it's info@karm.org, I can just put this little bit out of my notes. And I can just copy, paste it, and just put it in there and send it back to you. Just email me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
info@karm.org, and I'll be watching right now even. And when it comes in, I'll just hit reply, paste, send. Okay? It's already ready to go.
Yeah. I'll be working tonight, so I won't be able to do it anyway. But, I appreciate that very much.
Okay.
I actually looked at some of your website. It was very, very interesting when you talked about Eutychus and his view and how he got kicked out of the church because of his view on the... what do you call it, the hypostatic union. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Never knew that. There were three different views on that. But yeah, I've never learned it from your website. I really enjoy it.
There's a lot. I like to research and want to help people out. And I have the privilege of being able to do it full time. So praise God.
Great.
All right.
Great. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay, God, man. You. God bless. Okay. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Paul from Raleigh, North Carolina. Raleigh, welcome down here. Paul, I'm talking to you. He's got a note there. I know what he's going to ask about. We could talk about it. So I don't know if he's listening or he's panicking or if he's speaking and we couldn't hear him. Maybe that's a problem because that happened with the first caller. So maybe Paul might want to call back. I'm going to hang up on him and I'll talk about Victor Paul Weirwill and the Way International because that's what he's talking about, the Way Church. Now, I assume it's the Way International. And it may not be. But if it's the Way International Church, it's a non-Christian cult started by Victor Paul Weirwill. And it denies the Trinity, denies the deity of Christ, the personhood and deity of the Holy Spirit, denies salvation by grace through faith, teaches soul sleep. So it's a non-Christian cult. It's not a Christian religion. I don't know if he wants to call me about that, but he can. Also, you know what? I'm going to try this, too. Yeah, we try this. If anybody in, say, for example, Rumble, you have a comment or a question you want me to read on the air, type it in, and I'll pay attention to, say, for the radio, and then put a colon, and then a comment or question. Maybe I can respond to what it is you're asking or saying right there. So for those of you who don't know, we broadcast the show online also, and you can watch me sitting here at my desk. It's incredibly fascinating to watch me with a headset on talking, and if you want to call, you know more exciting. So let's see. Now I read this one email about something about vaccine stuff, and then I realized that earlier there was an earlier email. So I didn't see the earlier email, and that's what the other one was referencing. So now I get it. Now I get what the context is. So here we go. The earlier email, which I should have read first, but that was on my bad. Warning to the so-called Christians apparently willing to risk salvation for a free trip. Israel just rewarded Fauci with $1 million for his good work during the pandemic. Not really a pandemic because of serious lack of deaths worldwide, unless, of course, you consider it. Okay. The definition was changed a dozen years ago in order to deceive the gullible. And you really don't want your DNA to be collected as you submit to the phony PCR test to collect everyone's DNA. Wake up and smell the coffee. I like coffee. And clean up your act. Well, that's always a good advice. Clean up your act. Fauci, who's already America's highest paid civil servant. Yeah, I think he's guilty of a lot of stuff. And along with the Biden crime family. Let's try this. Let me try some hate mail. Got another hate mail? I don't know. Let's go to wacko mail. Let's see. So Mr. Kidd asks, why is the Way International a cult? The Way International, that's weird, something else just came to my computer, is a cult because it denies the true God, the true Christ, the true gospel. And Jesus says in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. You got to believe Jesus Christ is God in flesh. If you don't do that, you're in a lot of trouble. Hey, there's some music, which means I got to go for the last segment of the hour after this break. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to call me, 877-207-2276. That means call the number. Don't call me the number. Call the number. You can call me 877. No, don't call me 877. All right, here's a wacko mail. I was looking at this during the break. Because Fridays we do hate mail and wacko mails. I know you're doing... it says, I know you are doing the practically necessary thing, closing the doors Sunday. Not the start of the Great Tribulation. Thankfully, I have the answer to every problem mankind faces. That's right, every problem. Oh, I love this. This is great. This guy goes on. I was promised this in a vision at 19 years old before I left hitchhiking. Before I left hitchhiking as a missionary from your church. What? I was promised this in a vision at 19 years old before I left hitchhiking as a missionary from your church, fully available to discover the root of the problem that was hidden in the church, pastors, and their message regarding Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. You know, some people just don't have all their paws in a litter box. Let's see. It says that there's it lists a bunch of people or something. Anyway, in fact, because of your traditional errors, you have no friend in Jesus at all, as he waits for you and all his proud enemies to humble yourselves and glorify the Father, rescuer, provider, etc. Okay. And then he goes on. And yes, thankfully, I have answered every problem. That's right, every problem, he says. And then he goes on. You're going to check this out. This is interesting. And I'm ready to equip you to train and equip everyone through correcting your ages-old falsehoods and not according to your false value systems, priorities, period. Number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Check this out. God's glory in the new creation. I just made a comment. Number 2, the end of hell. So he's a universalist. Number 3, the restoration of Lucifer. That means the devil, at his expressed humility and true worship before Jesus and to the delight of all the angels. So in other words, this guy's a wacko universalist who thinks the devil will be saved. And it just doesn't work. And there's lots of reasons. I get into theology about it. You had to have an atoning sacrifice to cleanse you of your sin, you know. And that's why the angelic realm can't be redeemed with the fallen ones. There's no atoning sacrifice to remove their sin. So we have that in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, since we had no callers coming in, I'm going to go through and just do some more hate mail. And here's one. I'm going to tell you that I really enjoy hate mail. There's something wrong with me, I know. A lot of people are saying amen to that. That's true. But I enjoy it, all right? And I particularly enjoy the quick and slick version of hate mail. And here's a good example of it. Why don't you get the devil out of your hard soul? There, that was a good insult and a good hate mail. It's right to the point. I enjoyed that one. It was good. So that was someone asked me that. Why don't I get the devil out of my hard soul? Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. And to move along. Let's see. Here's another one. If you have even the slightest inclination towards integrity in your scholarship or religious activities, if truth means something to you, consider the absolute hypocrisy you advertise on your website. Okay, I'll consider the absolute hypocrisy I advertise on my website. What? I don't advertise my hypocrisy on a website. And I don't advertise it. I don't get it. So, you know, I enjoy these because they don't make any sense a lot of times. And they drive and they vote. Oh my goodness, it's bad. Here's another one. I just read what you've written on the internet and it is a bunch of garbage. You have no idea what you're talking about. Destroying anybody's belief is a horrid thing to do. So wait a minute. So the person said that what I'm doing is garbage. So he's trying to destroy my belief. Isn't that garbage? Oh man, you know, like shooting fish in a barrel. All right. Let's try another one here. Please don't lie. If you lie, you have to make a lie to cover up the first lie. Then you have to make a lie to cover up the second lie. Then you have to make a lie to cover up the third lie. Then, it goes on, oh my, please don't lie. I was thinking of you when I wrote this poem. I want to know if he was lying. Because, I don't know. Don't lie. And then it turned out to be a poem. So, it's awesome. Okay, sorry, can't help it. All right, here's another one. You definitely need to wake up and smell the coffee. People like that expression. Okay, wake up and smell the coffee. Now, wait a minute. Does that imply that you have an automatic coffee maker? Because if you set your coffee maker to, you know, like a certain time, and you get up a little bit after that, or right at that time, then you can, well, have to be before. Wait a minute. How long would it take for the smell of just that wonderful coffee to permeate the house or the apartment or wherever you live? I'm going to say 5 minutes. That's what I'm going to go with 5 minutes. So you got to set your alarm to 5 minutes after the coffee maker comes on, or the coffee maker 5 minutes before your alarm goes off. Same thing. So then you could wake up and smell the coffee. You see? So this guy is assuming I have an automatic coffee maker. But what if I don't have an automatic coffee maker? Then how can I wake up and smell the coffee? I'd be like, hey, I'm waking up. I don't smell any coffee. So then none of his criticism would apply to me. It all depends on an automatic coffee maker. Let's go on to another one. I am writing to inform you of the invalidity of your webpage entitled A Biblical Response to Mormonism, in which you refer to the church as a cult, it is, and to our, yours and mine, Jesus as the wrong Jesus. No, the Jesus of Mormonism is not the same Jesus as I believe in and the Bible teaches, that's for sure. Like, you know what's best to me is the Mormons, where they'll say, we believe in the same Jesus of the Bible that you read. You go, no, you don't. Because the Jesus of the Bible is the creator of the universe. Do you believe that? You know, that, and they go, you know, because their Jesus is the brother of the devil, begotten through relations between God and his goddess wife, who came from another world. That's not what we teach. They use it, they say, well, we believe the same one. We just define them all differently. That's like me saying, I believe in the same Joseph Smith you did. You know, the one who started Mormonism? They go, oh, well, good, praise God. I go, yeah, you know, he was born in Germany. And he was a dwarf. They go, what? Yeah, that's who I believe in. No, it's not the same one. Yes, it is. He's the one who started Mormonism, right? No, it's not who he was. You see, it's the same kind of a thing. They say it's the same one, but it really isn't. Anyways, he goes on, don't you think it is just a bit blasphemous to say? No, it's not. It's not blasphemous at all. It is my firm belief that your attempt to disprove or refute the church is hurting your spirit. Well, you know what? My firm belief that you believing in Mormonism is hurting your spirit. Here's another one. Just checking in to see if you've been able to figure out the truth and stop selling the lies. Let me know if you need help. Figure out the truth, huh? I would love to talk to people like that. Okay, help me figure out what the truth is. First of all, tell me what the truth is so we can figure out what it is. That means you have to know what the truth is ahead of time in order to help me figure out what the truth is. So if you don't know what the truth is to begin with, how could you help me? But if you do know the truth, then what is that truth and how do you know it's the truth? What's your standard? You know, I ask questions like this of people who say things like that. They look at me, what? Yeah. Okay, let's go to the next one. Let me know how I can simplify this. You are wrong. Now here's a question. Okay, he says, let me see how I can simplify this for you. You're wrong. Oh, I see what he's doing. Okay. Didn't ask me to help him simplify, because that's pretty simplified. Let me see how I can simplify this. You're wrong. Well, wrong about what? See, how do I know what I'm wrong about if he doesn't tell me what I'm wrong about? See, I'll tell people, you are wrong about, I'll say Mormons, you are wrong about who God is, who Jesus is, what the gospel is. See, the Catholics, you are wrong about what the gospel truly is. You know, I'll say this is what you're wrong about. But sometimes people just say, you're wrong, so there, I showed you. Okay, here's another one. Honestly, Matthew, now everybody calls me Matt. The only one who ever called me Matthew was my mom when I was in trouble. She goes, Matthew? Uh-oh, I'm in trouble, what'd I do? So anyway, let's go on. Honestly, Matthew, for you to so recklessly say the mean-spirited things you say about Mormons and others, don't you feel deja vu? The same tactics were used against Jesus. Although you are unsuccessful then. No, deja vu would mean I was experiencing it again, and I wasn't back then with Jesus, so it doesn't work. It's not the correct application of deja vu. But Mormons, they don't have the true Jesus. Let's go on to another one. Let's see, you're wrong about almost everything. Listen, pal, you don't know what you're talking about. Feelings as mine don't happen every day. Wow. So get that. feelings like mine don't happen every day. That's why you're wrong. Wow. It's just like, I can just see someone walking into a big crowd and he's just sauntering, he's puffing his chest out. And the crowd believes one thing and he believes something else. And he says, you know why? Because feelings like mine don't happen every day. That's why I'm right. Wow. How about this one? Consider yourself warned, however, that what you do is a great offense in the eyes of the Lord. Okay. Which Lord? Your Lord? I don't know. Your Lord the devil? I don't know. You're not saying anything. Yeah, welcome to the Feelings Tabernacle. That's right, Mr. Kitt. That was the I can do the videos. I can do the audios again. Let's see if I can do this. Do my voice here. I got to prep myself. This is an intro to the website. I'm not the website. It's a radio show. All right. Let's see. We changed the website. So we changed the name and stuff.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is E.R. Tickler coming at you from the Feelings Tabernacle.
Okay, see, that's what that is. So that's why Mr. Kidd is in there. The Feelings Tabernacle, that's right. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 13:13. So people love those. I got to get those going again. But we did them for a different show, and they have that show title in. So my show used to be called Faith and Reason. And then we found out that somebody else had another show called that, even though I got mine first. And they were very respectful. They said, could you please change your... And I went, yeah, sure, I don't care. And we went to Matt Slick Live, which I didn't like because it sounds narcissistic. But we had a guy, an expert radio guy, goes, no, it's perfect name for radio. Matt Slick Live is perfect. So we went to that. So there you go. And what I'm doing is reading some of the stuff from the chat in Rumble. And folks, ladies and gentlemen, we're almost out of time here, less than a minute. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And it was a slow Friday, but I could do hate mail. And so that people sometimes just listen because I have fun with it. Look, if you are interested in calling me, all you got to do is whittle next week. And then you can get on the air. Give me a call. If you have questions in the meantime, just email your questions to info@carm.org and say, hey, it's for the radio. And we'll put it in the radio queue. And then I get on the air sometimes. So we just do those. All right. And also, we're moving to Rumble, rumble.com/carmorg, CARMORG. And in there, you can see all our channels. We've got Matt Slick Bible Study, Matt Slick Live, and everything's out to Matt Slick. I've got to get away from that. And all of that kind of stuff that is in there. So I hope you all have a great weekend. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be on the air on Monday. I hope you have a tremendous weekend. And may the Lord bless you. God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.